announce Prophet Rob Sanchez is in the house. Prophet Rob, would you please stand up? Yeah. And just so you know, Rob is a dear friend of ours. Rob came into a prison where I was in prison ministry. Well, I was actually in prison for stealing jets and cocaine trafficking, but I'd gotten into prison ministry from the inside out. And Rob came into that prison in Florence, Colorado, and he began to prophesy and declare things. And he prophesied over about 25 prisoners in a row. Detailed stuff, such as, I see you working with wood. Here's the two types of wood you like to work with. Here's your two favorite types of wood. And he says, you're a woodworker. He says, but God's actually called you to build lives. He said, in fact, I see you with a pencil in your hand. I see a number two pencil, and I see you teaching students. There are other prisoners. It was the GED teacher that wanted to be in carpentry, but they'd put him over in this area. And Rob pulls the gold out of people. He brings it to the forefront. I've seen Rob on different occasions call people out and say, last night you had a dream. Please stand. And as the person stands, he said, please don't tell me your dream. He says, I'm going to interpret it, but I'm not asking you to tell me. I'm going to tell you the dream you had last night. The Daniel chapter 2 anointing, and then he'll go scene by scene of the dream, and every scene a wave of God's power hits. And then there will be a purpose for the interpretation. The people will be called into full-time ministry. And then the congregation will say, was that real? And all of a sudden he'll look and he'll say, you had a dream last night. Do you know me? No. Have you ever been here before? No. Why are you here? I felt led to come. He says, you had a dream last night. And he'll go scene by scene, and the power of God will hit that person. Rob is a very unique, unusual ministry gift, very humble. And we've helped Rob get into other countries through our relationships in Taiwan. And when my wife and I got married at the Dana Point Yacht Club in 2014, who did we call to officiate our wedding? Prophet Rob Sanchez. So I just want to give a proper introduction. Don't be deceived by outward appearance today. He just came from preaching at a men's retreat and was planning on being up here to go fishing, but it was too windy, and I said, Rob, would you come fish with us? So he may not have got a big tuna in the bay today, but we're going to get enough filleted food to feed everybody here, and we're going to do ministry time. I do not know what's going to happen, but I know it is going to be very good, because life is very good. And Rob's ministry is called Life Is Very Good. So prepare to be encouraged. Joanna, do you have anything to say before we get started?
Well, I feel like God, like you hit it on the head today, Pastor, that breakthrough is here. And I feel like the Lord is stirring the waters. And I was praying in the back while we had the awesome worship, and I felt the Lord saying, my presence, this is where he wants to draw us deeper into that presence for that breakthrough, but seeking his face even greater. And then he stirs the waters, and then he causes the sea to part.
Amen. Prepare. So my wife has a new synthesizer. We now travel with this 61-key synthesizer. It plays in different keys. And so it plays not in 440 like most do. It plays in 432, 528, and 444. Many say 444 is the key of David. So you're going to hear a different frequency, because the voice of God is not just a voice that you hear. It is a sound. It is a frequency. And God will speak to you in this still, small voice, and it will calm you. The word shalom is the word peace in our language. Jerusalem is Jerusalem, it's city of shalom or city of peace. And Jesus is the Prince of peace. And when his shalom enters the room, when you say shalom to somebody, it's hello, it's goodbye, it's nothing missing, nothing broken, that you might be whole in soundness of mind, not with the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So the word shalom, literally when it comes in, the Psalms 68:1, God of the Bible rides in on the wings of worship. He comes in. Let God arise. Let all his enemies be scattered. So when you say shalom, you're literally toppling the king of chaos, and he falls at your feet, or he's blown out of the way, and the crooked paths are made straight, because the prince of peace dismantles the prince of the power of the air. He fells the adversary, and he causes your enemies to be your footstool, something for you to walk upon. As I was coming through the tunnel, I had another message for today. As I was coming through the tunnel, I heard the word of the Lord: joy is a weapon. Joy is a weapon. The joy of the Lord is a weapon. 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Come, Holy Spirit, we give you residence. Just lift your hands up to the Lord. The Bible says, submit therefore unto the Lord and resist the devil and he will flee. So right now we're submitting unto the Lord that we might give him place, give him residence, and give no place to the enemy in our mind, our will, our emotions, our imaginations, our thinking, our discontentness. Instead, we receive the empowerment from you right now, O Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Prince of Shalom. We thank you for toppling the king of chaos in our lives. Father, we bless those that are watching online right now. I release unto you the shalom peace that topples the king of chaos in your life. And I declare, peace, be still. I command every sickness and dis-ease to be broken out of your body right now. I command anxiety to go. Go, 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 go. I release the shalom peace of God that bypasses your understanding and fills and floods your soul now. The in-flooding presence of the living God. Give him place that you might then use your authority to displace everything that's not the divine design. I call forth that which has been written and preordained for you to do, and the scrolls to come forth now and take preeminence in your life. Joanna, please carry us up higher. Just receive. Give him residence. Can you feel His presence? Can you feel His presence? Yeshua, 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 Yeshua. Use your prayer language. Use your prayer language. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him. Say joy. How many want the joy of the Lord, which is our strength? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, not despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. God wants to fill us with a fresh impartation of joy, because joy is a weapon against the enemy. Joy enables you to slide through with that oil of gladness through every line of the enemy's defense. When the oil comes upon you and the enemy tries to reach out, you slip out of his hands. I remember when we were kids, and we were at a church camp, and they put a watermelon in the water with two teams, and the watermelon was floating, and one team had to get the watermelon all the way to the other side and push it up onto the deck, and whoever got the watermelon to their side and it started in the middle, they won the watermelon. Now, truth be told, after they got that, they broke it up and everybody ate. But they didn't know that then. And they would take that watermelon and they would grease that watermelon up. And it was coated in something, probably Crisco back then. And they dropped that thing in, coated in that slick, greasy substance. And God wants to smear you today with the oil of gladness. And as they dropped that watermelon in, and both teams, they dove in and they went to that watermelon, as they grabbed it to pull it, it slipped out of their hands and it spun. And the other team would grab that watermelon and try to get it. They'd try to pick it up and it would slip out of their hands. It was slippery. And it went on and on. And just as somebody was getting ready to push it up to their side, it would slip out of their hands and drop, and the other team would grab it. And this would go on 10, 15 minutes to try to get that watermelon. But if the watermelon was not pre-oiled, it would have been easy to capture it. And the key with the Lord to defeat the enemy is to stay oiled in his presence. Who for the joy that was set before him, he had the oil of gladness upon him. He was anointed with the oil of gladness, and he lives in you. And now that oil rises up and bubbles forth and says, I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. Hey, I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up a well within my soul. Spring up a well and make me whole. Spring up a well and give to me that life more abundantly. You know what shepherds do in Israel? Praise the Lord. What shepherds do in Israel is they anoint their sheep with oil. They anoint their heads with oil. You know, we're called sheep. We have to follow the shepherd. And when you anoint a sheep with oil, let me tell you what happens. There are flies that try to land on the little sheep's head. And if the fly can land and remain, it will begin to lay eggs to produce other flies and larvae, and it will get into the head of the sheep, and it will burrow down, and larvae will begin to develop in the sheep's head. This has a good ending, by the way. I'm getting there. And what happens is the shepherd will have to try to get those larva eggs out, or it will develop and create a different thinking in the sheep. And the devil is called Beelzebub, Lord of the Flies. And flies are attracted to things that aren't attractive. You see them at a garbage dump. You see them at other places. So what the shepherds do to protect from the flies is they anoint the sheep's head with oil. It creates a protective coating, and the enemy, the flies, can't land and remain. Nehemiah, he said these words, Nehemiah 8:10. You ready for this? Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord our God. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Raise your hand up to the Lord to say, Lord, here's my antenna. Anoint me with the oil of gladness. I take my antenna that's been anointed. I put it on my head. Now, Lord, anoint my head with that oil of gladness. So wherever I go through, I make it to the other side with the oil of gladness. For the joy that's set before me, I endure it, and I come out on the other side victorious in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, a very different anointing flowing today, isn't it? Very different. As I was coming through that tunnel into San Francisco, I heard those words. Joy is a weapon. Joy is a weapon. Now, I was reading something the other day. I was with Rodney Howard Brown the other day, and we were talking, and he'd given me a copy of his book. Given him my book, he gave me his book. And I was reading his book, and he was talking about persecution. And he talked about how his children had been in the meetings. They'd seen the goodness of God. They'd seen the glory. That when laughter began to break out in his meetings in New York, it was a new anointing. He'd never seen it before, and it created controversy. Do you know the devil hates joy? The devil hates joy. You know who else hates joy? Religious folk. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Mark 10, 29 and 30 says, no man having given up houses and lands and cars, you know, all this other stuff, I'm adding cars because it's a modern day application, all the stuff that God can add unto you, no man who then willingly gives it away. You know, you can have stuff, but until you're willing to give it away, stuff still has you. But if you're willing to give it away, God will give you more. And then when you get it, the people that aren't willing to give theirs away get upset because you got stuff. Never judge a man's harvest till you know what his seed was. And the key is, if you got the stuff and you got joy, and God tells you to give away all the stuff, you'll still have joy. But if your joy is in the stuff, you'll lose your joy when the stuff goes. How many lost some stuff in the last few years? Still got your joy?
Yes.
Then he'll give it all back.
Amen.
So religious folks don't like joy. They get upset. And I was reading the book, and as I was reading it, he talked about when this joy broke out. He said people were getting set free from mental anguish, anxiety, depression, despair. They were getting set free from wounds they'd experienced in relationships, abuse, being attacked, losing things, having promises delayed. And as joy was breaking out, he wasn't laughing. He wasn't causing it. But people were getting set free because Jesus came to set the captives free, to set at liberty those that are bound, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The woman at the well didn't know who Jesus was because rabbis don't speak to women that are Samaritans. And when she found out who he was, she became the greatest evangelist in the history of Samaria. And she went back and noised it abroad. Don't be upset about women preachers. Because if you were doing your job, God may not have to raise them up. Men, neither Jew nor Greek nor slave nor free nor male nor female in the anointed one. If they're in the anointed one, they're going to preach because he's in them. Amen. You know what the Lord spoke to me one day? He said, David, the wife will only submit to the husband when the husband is submitted to the Lord. The wife will only submit to the husband when the husband is submitted to the Lord. He said, Ephesians chapter 5, and it's a chapter on marriage. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Wives, submit to your husbands. And he showed me that some women, if they submitted to their husbands that weren't submitted to the Lord, would be submitted to a devil. Ooh, amen or ouch. Hallelujah or heretic. Don't want to meddle today. Just telling you what the Lord told me. If it applies, men, submit to the Lord. And God will cause your wife to submit to the Lord in you if she's born again. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Father, we come out of agreement with submitting to any other spirit than the Holy Spirit. We refuse to submit to a control spirit, but we'll submit to you, O Lord, for you to control our spouse, and we trust you, and we live a quiet and peaceable life, and we pursue peace with all men and women, without which no man or woman will see the Lord, and we guard against the root of bitterness, so it enter not in. I pluck out the root of bitterness right now for Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, not despising the shame. You know, after that happened, three people came to me within 24 hours that were in marital crisis. And they wanted me to pray that God would restore their marriage, and I shared with them the vision or the revelation the Lord had given me. And I said to them this, I said, let me ask you a question. I said, if you had a daughter and she was married to a man like you, how would you feel about it? And they looked at me, they said, well, I said, what would you do if the man who was mistreating your daughter came to you and said, I want you to force your daughter to come back to me? What would you say? He looked and he said, I wouldn't have her come back to a man like me. I said, but you want me to pray that God will force her to come back to you? I said, but if you change, God will bring her back. But if you don't, why would he bring his daughter back to an abuser and make her submit to a devil? I don't know why I'm on this. Maybe it's for somebody online, because I know it can't be anybody in this congregation. Okay. Praise the Lord. And the 70 returned again with joy, Luke 10:17, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us in your name. When you have mastery over demons, there's a joy, but it creates a controversy. So men get back houses 100-fold in this life with persecution. Do you know some things come with persecution? Do you know you can't get around it? You know, when Prophet Rob came in and preached, he preached like his shirt tail was on fire in the prison, like 2002, I think the year was, almost 21 years ago. And he prophesied accurately. The power of God hit people. People were literally like numb, stuck in their chairs, couldn't get out. The power of God fell. And after he ministered in power, people came to Jesus in those services that would not have come to the Lord when another type of preacher had come in. They needed a prophet, somebody operating in the prophet's office. There was one named Baby Boy. He was a gang leader. And the prophet's office will be controversial at times. If you don't believe me, read the Bible. They stoned the prophets. You know what the difference is between a prophet and a politician? A politician hears what people are saying. He hears the narrative, or she hears the narrative. They're like, okay, this is what the populace is saying, or a group is saying. I'm going to go out, repeat the same things, whether I believe them or not, and then I'm going to tell them the same things they're already hearing, and I'm going to say, come, I'm your leader. Follow me. A prophet, and by the way, the politician is lauded, cheered, celebrated because he's already or she's already saying the same things people believe. And they'll follow them off the cliff. Okay. But the prophet, on the other hand, is sent by God to tell people the bridge is out. Turn around. Change your mind. Go back the other direction. The politician is celebrated. The prophet is stoned. So when you hear a prophetic word or a teaching and you don't like it, sometimes you throw a rock into a pack of dogs. The one that yelps is the one that got it. So your heart should receive with meekness that engrafted word, which is able to save and transform your soul. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through your name. So as Rodney Howard Brown, I was reading the book, and because we were just together, I want to share this. He's a great man of God. He's in Tampa, and they win tens of thousands to Christ everywhere they go. And the angels in heaven rejoice when one sinner is brought to re- You want to release joy in the earth? Be a soul winner. You want to multiply the church? It's not through church marketing. It's through the presence of God that people are drawn. Not for a program, not for Christian entertainment, but for someone who would enable you to enter in into worship, to see the unseen one. How many felt that today? You saw the unseen one. She disappeared, and you began to see the one who died for you. And he said when that joy broke out, controversy happened. Nobody looked at the fruit that persecuted him. They only looked at the manifestation. They didn't look to the scriptures. They only looked at the manifestation. They didn't look to the fruit. They only looked at the manifestation. The manifestation confused them. But joy is throughout scripture, isn't it? How many want all that God has for them, even if it's controversial? Paul's handkerchiefs and aprons were controversial. Peter's shadow was controversial. The American Medical Association would not have been happy with Jesus spitting in clay and putting it in people's eyes, or spitting on his hand and slapping it on their tongue. I'm not telling you I got faith for a tongue spitting, slapping anointing at this time, but it might be coming. And he said that they, Rodney Harbaugh said they put together a video clip of him clipped up. You know how they take these sound bites? And he said they made him look ridiculous. And he thought, oh my gosh, I look absolutely ridiculous. But those were great services, because his children were raised up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. They saw the video clip. He said, you know what they did? They fell on the ground laughing, because they knew it was out of context and wasn't true. And he said, thank God I raised my children up in the atmosphere of heaven. If you raise your children up in the atmosphere of the glory, they'll stand with you through persecution, instead of thinking you're some sort of a religious fanatic. You want to know what a fanatic is in the Christian world? It's somebody who loves Jesus just a little bit more than you. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. The weeping endureth for a night. What comes in the morning? Jesus said, my shalom peace I leave unto you, not as the world leaves. I give it unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard now. I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And they would rejoice. Why? Because the precious Holy Spirit is coming. Let us stand. Prophet Rob, would you come up? I'm going to put a demand on the gift of a man who was supposed to be out fishing for tuna today, who happened to be in the same city on the same day as me. And after, how many times did you preach this weekend? So Rob preached three times this weekend, had a morning open to go fishing with a friend, but the winds bolstered up. And so we've got him here. We want to put a demand on the gift. Amen.
Well, God bless each and every one of you. It's an honor to be here at this wonderful house of fellowship. I just sense in my spirit what God wants to do is he wants to bring forth the power of who he rightfully is. Today, there's a whole lot of things that are being proclaimed, but we know one simple truth. When you know him, you know truth, and in him, there is no darkness. And today, what I really want to do is I just want to encourage some of you. I want to take a moment to just really begin to release what God is saying. You could grab your seats. As Pastor David was speaking on joy. I was drawn to a woman in the Bible, and her name is Abigail. Abigail was not an ordinary woman. She was a woman who was set apart by joy. Did you know that you can hang around the foolish and not be a fool? You can hang around the angry and not be angry. You can hang around those that are poor and not be impoverished. Abigail was a different type of woman, but she was married to a man by the name of Nabal. When you study the name Nabal, you find out that his name means foolish. Well, David and his men were very kind to Nabal and his herdsmen. They walked alongside of them for a period of time, protecting them without any expectation. But one day, David was in need, and he sent his men to Nabal and asked if Nabal would return kindness. But Nabal was a man of irrationality. He was a man that had no common sense, a man of no wisdom. When you study the name Nabal, his name means a fool. Do you realize that you can hang around the foolish and not yet be a fool? Because God will give you the power to ascend. That's what joy does. Joy gives you the power to ascend to a greater place. And this is what Nabal does. Nabal insults David's men. David becomes so enraged. What does he have in his heart but murder? He says, his men, pick up your swords, boys. We are going to war, and there will not be one of the men of Nabal's house whom shall be spared. But thank God for Abigail, whose name means the father's joy. Can I tell you how to get rid of hostility and how to bring peace into a home is release joy. I love what Pastor David said. David declared that joy is a weapon. And watch this weaponry go to work, because Abigail, whose name means my father's joy, she runs and she gathers an offering, a feast that would please David. She and a company of men ride down to where David is coming up. They meet in the trail. She jumps off of her animal. She lays herself before the feet and begins to share. And she simply opens her mouth and says these words, "Let there be no anger in your servant. Please receive the gift of my hand, for my husband is a foolish man." Can I tell you Nabal's end? He comes to a place where he's drunken in his foolishness. He's not even aware. He's partying like a king, not even aware of what he's done and the wrath that he inquired over his house. Abigail doesn't even tell him how David's anger was spared him because of the joy of a woman giving. Can I tell you what happens? The next morning, she shares with him how she provoked, how he had provoked David to come and bring a destructive hand. And the Bible says, and 10 days later, he fell over dead. Can I tell you that joy was a weapon? God delivered her out of the hands of a foolish man. He delivered the people, a company of people, from the place of anger and bitterness and brought forth joy. Can I tell you what we know next? David sends for Abigail and she becomes one of his house. I'm here to proclaim to you that you are of the house of the lineage of David. And one of the great gifts that God gives you is the spirit of joy. Now, I want to just decree over the house that this is a set season where the war and the battle has been strong. You've looked to and to and fro, but you have yet not been able to fully receive the promise. But I heard the Lord say, when you let joy fountain, the promise is and shall be established. I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, look again to the East Bay. Look again. Look again over the bridge. Look again and watch what I'll begin to do. For I am a wind, says the Lord, and I will cause my breeze to stir the waters. And even as I stir it, I will heal the land. For the East is calling you. And the Lord says, even as it calls your name, I'm going to give you the power to rise up. I will bring what is needed in resources and finances, but I will also send you to a company of people. For the Lord says the Bay Area is in need. And he says, and I'm sending a company of people that will take a risk and invest who they are into a place that a land might be transformed. The Spirit of God says, I'm doing a new thing. I am raising up a company of people that aren't afraid to go here, there, and everywhere. For did I not say unto my servant, as I said unto you, go to the land in which I tell you. God said, I moved you from one land to another, and I've moved your house through many lands. But now the Lord says, even as it was with Abraham, so has it been with you. The Lord says, son, I need you to see that this is a time of separation. For those that have been your lots will now be left behind. The Lord says, this is the season that I will say to the lot, pick the land in which you want, and I will send you the other way. If you pick the north, I'll go to the south. If you pick the west, I'll go to the east. The Lord says, I have chosen the east for you. And the Lord says, I have called you to go and walk that land, the north, the south, the east, and the west. And as far as your eyes can see, it is what I long to give to thee. The Lord says, now is the time. This is the season. Luke 19 says, the Lord, the house is coming into this very season where there is many that have desired to see the Lord but couldn't, even as it was with Zacchaeus. But what did Zacchaeus do? He ran ahead. He climbed up into a tree and had an encounter. I hear the Spirit of God say, this is the season in which this house will begin to run ahead, but it will begin to ascend by climbing a tree, and it will be able to look over what it could not have seen in times past. And with clarity, it will see what I have. God says, today is a day of separation. I am causing old things to pass and new things to come forth. The Lord says, I'm going to cause you to rise above and not be beneath. And I'm going to cause you to see all that I've promised. The Spirit of God says, I'm doing a new thing in this very house and amongst the very people. And I'm setting people in motion. The Lord says, have I not said, go, and there I will meet you? Have I not said, go, and there I would provide for you? I have never forsaken you. And you will see my promises rise up and see them become sure. The Spirit of God says, watch what I do in the coming 3 weeks. Watch what I come and do in the coming 3 months, and watch what happens in the city in which I promised you. A fresh wind will come and a fresh touch will blow, and the heart of a people will be changed. Ah, Jesus. I'm just drawn to the scriptures in 2 Kings chapter 6 because I believe many of you have looked at a season that you have been facing with eyes of fear. God has called this house and its people to be thermostats, not thermometers. A thermometer takes temperature. A thermostat regulates it. And I want you to know that God is going to cause you to begin to regulate things. In 2 Kings 6, we see something happening. The king of Syria is longing to make war with the king of Israel. But every time he sets a strategy to destroy the king of Israel, the prophet opens his mouth and says, don't be found in this location. He does it on multiple occasions till the time where the king of Syria becomes angry and says, surely one of us is a spy who conspires against us. And they said, no, my king, it's the prophet in Israel. He's speaking the secrets that you're revealing in the chamber of a bedroom to your wife. So he becomes enraged and he sends a great army. Did you know that when the scripture declares a great army, it means 1,000 men? Here is a warrior, a group of warriors, men that are skilled with bows and arrows, with slings, with spears, with javelins. And they're sending them to go arrest a man and a servant who are dangerous in a different way. The prophet does not know hand-to-hand combat. He doesn't know battle with a sword or a spear. He uses his mouth as a weapon. I am here to proclaim to you that the weapon that God has given you is your vocabulary. That's why we must become voices of joy. We must become words of hope. The Bible says that in your mouth there's the spirit of the power of death and life found in your tongue. Here's what happened. 1,000 men come to arrest the prophet. And can I tell you what the prophet does? Absolutely nothing. The servant comes out and the servant sees 1,000 men. And when he sees them, he comes into the tent full of fear. And listen to what the prophet says. He says, "Fear not. There's more for us than those who are against us." Can I proclaim to you that God is looking to raise up a people that will become thermostats of their house, that they will recognize what is coming in. The prophet saw the servant coming in carrying a spirit of fear, and he stopped them at the door and said, "Fear not," or "Do not enter into this space with this fear that you have." He stops him. He opens his mouth and says, "Fear not." And then declares, "There's more for you than everything that has stood against you." Can I tell you what happened next? There was a prayer. And that prayer was so powerful because that prayer was simplistic. And it declared this: "Lord, open the eyes of my servant that he might see." And the Bible says, the eyes of the servant were open and he saw. This is what most people miss. He wasn't seeing. He was now able to saw. Past tense, he was seeing what the prophet had seen. God wants to bring you to a place where you can saw what he's seen. You know it. And you won't be afraid. Can I tell you what happens? The 1,000 men that came to obtain the prophet were taken into captivity because the prophet's mouth was his weapon. When the prophet opened his mouth, he said these words to those who came to him and arrest him: "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Elisha." And he said these words: "Lord, strike these men with blindness." Did you know the very word "strike" was his weapon? He didn't have to throw a punch. He didn't have to send a sword. He didn't throw a javelin. He opened his mouth. His mouth was a weapon. And the moment his word was spoke, blindness came upon a people. I said that to say this: God is about to blind your enemy and bring him into captivity, because he's about to bring you and your house into freedom. The thing that has come to oppose you is going to be turned over and given into captivity. These 1,000 men were arrested. Elijah takes them to the king of Israel and says these very words: "Here is the men that you have captured by your own bow." And he says, "What do you want me to do with them? Should I kill them?" And he said, "No. Prepare a feast before them and let them go." And you know what the Bible says? "And they never troubled Israel again." I am here to proclaim to you that the thing that troubled you in one season will no longer have the power to trouble you in your next.
Glory! Woo!
A new day has come.
Yes.
And the word of the Lord is, you'll no longer see your trouble. You'll no longer see your enemy. From this day forward, I'll give you eyes to see the angelic host that has surrounded your situation. God says, I'm bringing clarity to my people. And you will begin to see my angelic host and my victory. For I'll bring you out of your day of agony, and I'll bring you into your day of celebration. This is my promise to you, says the Spirit of God. Come on, if that's for you.